We have heard the text, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, apart from the observation that weak people are vegetarians, what else does this text have to say for us? For Paul, it was easy enough to say something like that, since he probably never met anyone in his entire life who was not following a Mediterranean diet. Vegetables and fruits and nuts and fish and hardly ever beef, but every once in a while maybe some mutton, meat usually from animals that had been sacrificed. In such a sparse world, why would you take that extra step of deciding nothing but vegetables shall ever pass my lips? Why would this even become an issue? Unless perhaps it had been a part of a person's piety before he or she had become a Christian. Paul's second example involves the same kind of issue. Some people were observing festival days that were not on the Christian liturgical calendar, whatever that would have meant in the first century, and they could have been choosing festival days on the basis of previous religious commitments. Estimates are that one out of every 3 days in the Roman calendar was dedicated to someone or something, so there were lots of choices. When you became a Christian, could you set aside the same time in your life and dedicate it to the true God? What makes the text valuable for us is that here St. Paul sets before us the goal that God's people, in all their diversity, should deliver a consistent message that we live as people who value each other and are able to live confident lives dedicated to reconciliation because we know that we belong to God and have forgiveness and life for Jesus' sake. Paul never thought of the Christian faith as a private matter, an assent to a collection of ideas that we can keep in our hearts and minds and untouched in an unbelieving world. No, Christian faith is an active faith, a living faith, a faith that is lived out in the world. As African Christians regularly remind each other, the first book the unbelievers around us are going to read is the lives of the Christians. There, the unbelieving world will see if or how Christian faith makes a difference. So Paul starts with a categorical statement against quarreling. Paul has not introduced yet what the issues might be, but he says, there are people who like to quarrel all the time, but it better not be you. Paul knew that he lived in a broken world, and he experienced firsthand the conflicts between Jews and Gentiles, and he had seen for himself how easy it was to invoke nationalist or ethnic pride to get a crowd stirred up and engaged in riotous behavior. But Christians offer something different. Their lives are about reconciliation, about forgiveness and reconciliation with God for Jesus' sake. Paul found the way to speak about this in the first century, and how important it is that we find the way to talk about this in the 21st century, for American people are desperately seeking reconciliation. You can see it, for example, in the television dramas, how the program reaches its climax and the violins play when child and parent, when brother and sister, when spouses get beyond the misunderstanding and anger, the hopelessness and the despair, to finally find reconciliation and open the door to hope and new life. Americans want reconciliation. God built us to be one, and we Christians have found our oneness in the forgiveness of sins and the love of Christ, the fruits of Christ's reconciling work, and we have something to offer the world. Well, that's fine, and I'm all in favor of being together as one, as long as you do it my way. And that's Paul's next issue. There they were in this small minority community in this sea of unbelievers, and you know what they decided needed to be done? We must purify the congregation. There are some among us who refuse to eat the same food as all the rest of us, and they say that it helps make them better Christians because they are showing their separation from the world. The problem, of course, is that when we focus on what we or others do or don't do, it's only a small step until our rightness is what Christian faith is all about, and not the righteousness won for us by Jesus Christ in his suffering and death on the cross. I know that they think that they are better than we are. They think that what they are doing wins God's favor. I don't know what the terminology for works righteousness was in the first century, but it's clear that charges and countercharges were flying. So what's Paul's solution? He does not focus on whether vegetarianism is God's pleasing, is a God-pleasing lifestyle or not. They are weak, but he does not say they are wrong. He does not make a choice on the question of whether all days are the same or not, but instead he focuses on the issue of ownership. These questions are not to be settled on the basis of the community majority opinion, but on whom we belong to. I think we probably cannot hear these words in the same way that they were heard in that first century Roman congregation. They lived in a world where about a third of the population was enslaved, and some people belonged to a master in a way that we can learn about in textbooks, but we can't experience, thankfully. Enslaved people did not have an identity of their own. Their worth was determined solely by their masters, and their positions in society were determined not by their personal talents and abilities, but by whom they belonged to. So on the one hand, Paul gives us instruction about our relationship to other Christians. Remember that they are not yours, under your control. They are required to give an account, not to you, but to their master, and their master will lead and guide and defend them. And you belong to that same master, who will require of you all that he requires of them. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. We are accountable. But on the other hand, our lives are secure in God's love for us for Jesus' sake. There is forgiveness. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living, a message in which our broken world can find forgiveness and life. That's our message to share for Jesus' sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.